I've entitled this talk tonight, 10 Lessons from Lockdown. And I thought it'd be good just to reflect maybe over the past 6 months and what we have been going through and we're continuing to go through. And just maybe to think, me to share personally just some of my thoughts, but also to bring scripture to bear and to make sense of some of the things that have been happening. So 10 lessons, and hopefully I'll not spend too long in every one, or we'll get here quite a while, but we'll keep it hopefully fairly short. The first lesson is the future can change unexpectedly. None of us could have imagined back at the beginning of 2020 what this year would have indeed brought before us. So often we look to the future and we expect things to continue very much as they did before. None of us could have imagined a situation where so many in the country would have been furloughed from work, the shops and restaurants and churches would be closed for such a period of time. And even things like weddings not taking place and then funerals being limited to such small numbers. And that brings home that truth that we were reading about there in James 4, where James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." And I think what has happened in regards to coronavirus, as we make plans individually, as families, make plans indeed as a church, we have to do probably even more so than before, do so very tentatively, knowing that things indeed can change. And indeed, none of us know the landscape could look very differently in 2 weeks' time. And we have to, in all we do, say, this is what we're going to do, God willing. And I think that's a good lesson for us to do, because when it comes to life, life can change so dramatically and for many reasons. And to assume what we know what the future is, indeed, as James would say, is arrogance. I think we do have to plan for the future, but we always have to plan with a light touch, knowing that things can change very unexpectedly. So that's one lesson for us to learn. And as we think of the future, I think of the lovely hymn, we know who holds the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that is so important indeed. The second lesson is we can do things differently. Often church life can remain much the same, week after week and year after year. And I think my own church where I grew up in, that is often the case. But lockdown has forced us to think very differently about how we do church and to do things in a very different way. And I think as we think of lockdown and how we've had to dramatically change what we do, it can help us to take a step back and consider why we're doing what we're doing. And as we think of this, it reminds me of years ago when I went to Zimbabwe with Tearfund. I was brought up in a very traditional Presbyterian church. It still is a very traditional Presbyterian church. And at the age of about 20, I went and spent a summer in Zimbabwe with Tearfund. I went there to work on a farm and Bible school, and we were doing manual work, but we're doing stuff at the weekend in villages and schools and so forth. And it was amazing just to go to a situation, and things were done so differently. I remember the first Sunday we went to church in the local town, Chikutu, and the first thing they sang was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," which was lovely. I thought, well, this is a wee bit like home, not very different. But then it came to pray, and everybody prayed at once, out loud. And in some sense it was nice, but sometimes there's somebody over there, you think was trying to outdo somebody over there, and vice versa. And it was just so different. And we went to other services, and again, things were done so differently. And it was such a culture shock for a young boy brought up in a very traditional Presbyterian background. And I remember when I came home, my poor minister, I asked him, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why do we not do this? And he was so patient with me. And over these next months, he explained why we do what we do. And in many ways, my views of church didn't change, but I moved from just accepting what we did as being because we always did it that way to beginning to think of things through biblically. And as we think of the great changes in how we do have done services and midweek and so forth and how we do church organizations, it's important that we are governed by biblical principles. That's the crucial thing, that we don't just do things because we've always done them. I think lockdown gives us a great opportunity to take a step back and think, well, why do we do it this way? And look at biblical principles about worship, about church life, about indeed how the church should function. And it's a great lesson. And I think it's a great time maybe to even to read through the book of Acts and think about this. The third thing I think lockdown teaches us is we need to be outward looking. Lockdown has certainly pushed the church outside of our four walls in a way maybe we haven't known for many generations. And you think in the middle of March, the number of messages that started to go out online was absolutely amazing. And the number of people tuning into these messages was wonderful. And there's great examples of people, even people loosely connected to Brookside who never come to church, certainly in my time, who week after week are listening to the messages and continue to listen to the messages. I think it reminds me of what happens in Acts 8 with the persecution by Saul of the church. The church had been given the message to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, but they still were stuck in Jerusalem. They weren't reaching out. They weren't looking out. And the persecution forced them to go, and they shared the gospel wherever they went. And in a sense, the lockdown has forced us to go out in an online way, and that is absolutely wonderful. Another example, I think, which this reminds me, is the story of John Wesley when he was put out of the churches and wasn't allowed to preach in the Church of England. He went and was an opportunity to preach in the fields and drew vast crowds of people who wouldn't have been in church otherwise. And so that's wonderful. And stories, and I'm sure you can think of stories. My brother-in-law is Scottish. He comes from a family where he's the only person in the whole family circle is a Christian. And he has a brother who has had a lot of different relationships and certainly never near a church, I think, in his life apart from a few weddings and funerals. And lo and behold, I was amazed that he started to like and even comment on some of the stuff that we were doing. And he has since then, because of the interest we raised, he has went and contacted a local evangelical church and has met with them and is starting to go to it. I think of my home church. There's a good friend of ours. He's about 10 years older than me, and called Mervyn. And his father died just at the start of lockdown. It's quite an amusing thing at the funeral. When I came for the tea afterwards in the church hall, and they were doing sausage rolls, and I thought, in this red container, I thought, no, will I take red sauce or not take red sauce? And then, no, I'll not bother. And the next person came and swiped and realized it was sanitizer. I'm glad I didn't get that on my sausage rolls. But Mervyn's father, he passed away. That was just at the beginning of March. Mervyn hasn't been in church for 40 years since he would have attended church. And since he's listened to the services online, he started listening to the services, and I think partly through his father's death, the minister was very good to him, and he started listening to services online, and since the church has gone back, I think it's 3 Sundays now, he has been there every Sunday. I think of my mother's church in Uri. There's a lady from a Roman Catholic background sits in the pew in front of her, and her husband would never come to church. But during lockdown, he's been listening to the services with her. And since lockdown has ended, he's been there every week with her. And that story is repeated across the board in many cases. So we've been forced to look out, but God has done it. We need to continue to think about, are we reaching out, looking out enough with this? Fourthly, I think important thing is we can learn new skills. I think lockdown has taught a lot of people that. And I've got to say, Tommy and Mike and others have been absolutely great in lockdown, teaching me technical things and that. And every week, I think nearly every week for a few months, I was learning to do something new. And that Tommy talked about the seminars that he had me via Skype or FaceTime. And think of others, indeed, who on videos and that, devotionals and doing the children's talks, the talent that was shown there. Others who would have got the CDs from us, and then the message would come, oh, don't need the CDs anymore. I've got the internet in. And wonderful that in our own house, Cherif took up the hair cutting. And she did she did the girls' hair once, and you think she was cutting their throats, the squealing that took place. As me, she even did her own hair. And I have been at a barber since, and that was to save us a bit of money, which is great. I have a cousin who, during lockdown, she would be quite musical. She would have played in the silver band with me. She would have played a tenor horn. And so she knew music and that, but she never had played the piano in her life. And she's married to a music teacher. And so during lockdown, she's a wee B&B business, which totally shut down over lockdown. So she started learning to play the piano. And just a few weeks ago, her husband put her in for her first exam, grade 6, and she got it. And so she must be doing plenty of practicing over lockdown. And so we have loads of different skills and abilities that people are using. And this is one of the things that's important. 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 teaches that within the church, we all have gifts. Every believer within the church has gifts that they can use. And I think many a time those gifts are hidden and people don't realize. I remember when we talked about starting a wee praise band a number of years ago. And I remember the comment was, there's nobody who plays musical instruments within the church. And of course, when we started it, people did come out of the woodwork, as it were, to do it. And I wonder, we all have gifts. And I wonder you believe that you have gifts that you use, that you can use in the church. And maybe it's time to step out and use gifts and abilities that you haven't used before. Have the courage to do that. Now, we can maybe fall flat on our face sometimes, but listen, have the courage to do that. Because when you start using gifts and you know God in it, it's such a wonderful encouragement and blessing. The next lesson is the body of Christ can act powerfully. And I just think of the children's talks that were done, the variety of them and the imagination in them, the morning devotions that people got involved in, people who got involved in the buddy system, ringing folk who are by themselves or elderly, all who got involved in the CD deliveries, all involved in the technology end, all who got involved in the drive-in services, all got involved in the back to church. And times when you just saw so many people so willing to act and to do things, it was just so encouraging to see the body of Christ in action. We did set up the wee system where if people needed help getting groceries or to go to the pharmacy, they give us a wee ring. We only got 2 phone calls the whole time. And I'm not disappointed in that. I think one of the reasons why that was the case was there were so many people were doing it for their neighbours. And I'm aware of people in church, sometimes I've heard this secondhand, people in their from the church in their own estate went round their neighbours and just says, here's my number if you need anything, and maybe set up a wee WhatsApp group to do it. And it's wonderful just to see the body of Christ. And the body of Christ can act powerfully together when we are committed and are keen. And I think one of the things about lockdown which really helped was people's had a common purpose. We are going through these times. We need to support each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to work together. And I just think that's wonderful. And we need to keep that spirit. And we need all to be playing our part in this. Another thing I think in lockdown, which I've heard people say quite a bit, is we can be too busy. Many have said that lockdown has revealed to them just how busy they were before it, running here and there to this place and that place. I think we do need to be busy in our lives and busy serving the Lord. But like everything in the Christian life, it is a matter of balance. I think it speaks sometimes of a life and of a church which can be filled with busyness, but sometimes we can maybe lack substance or fruit in what we're doing, and we can be running, and maybe not getting anywhere. And I think one of the things that hopefully lockdown is teaching us that we do need to consider, do we have to do all the running that we're doing? Do we need to prioritize what are the most important things to be doing? And do we need to make sure that we have that time where we're, as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. And I think there's a challenge here for us as a church. Some folk with families have said, you know, they're aware that they were running so many nights of the week, taking their children here, there, or going themselves here and there, and the families were going and divided in many ways in that way. And there's folk in the church who are so busy and so much activity and don't have time properly to be fed, to rest in God's word and to pray and to grow, to be fruitful, but are busy at the same time. I don't know what the answer to that is. And I think this is a good opportunity over the next months, when things are not just as busy, to think about how we do things. Now, we do want to reach out. We want to reach our children, our young people. We do want to reach into our community. We do want to support each other. But like everything, we need the balance between doing and waiting. Waiting on the Lord. I think one of the problems is so often we're too much like Martha with our compulsion to do, instead of being Mary sitting at the Master's feet. And so that's something to pray about. I don't know the answer to us as a church. When I was in Wellington Street as assistant, we had an election of elders and we got four really good young men as elders. And they were asked to go away and just to think of the life of the church and to come back and to just give their views. They're all, three of the four were fathers of relatively young families. And the answer they came back with is that we're far too busy and we need to pull back. Now, that was not the answer people were looking for. They were thinking that these young men would come back and say, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. I know other churches which have looked at so many organizations which they have to man, and they've reviewed all this, and the result of the review was they ended up starting some other organizations and things. There's no easy answer to this. But for ourselves as individuals, as families, as a church, we can be too busy. And we need to think about that. Number seven is family time is vital. Homeschooling, being confined to our homes in the first few months, having worship at home, I think it created a lot more family time. Now, for some, it was certainly a challenge. And I've got to say, the first month of lockdown was really hard, trying to get things sorted out and into a pattern in the church. Cheryl's work was actually far busier than usual. She was coming home a lot later than usual. And then we had to homeschool two young girls at the same time. And it was, I've got to say, the first month or so was very, very challenging. But I look back over lockdown and some very precious memories as a family in time spent together. And it just reminds me that sometimes some of the very simple things. I look back and think, what one of my highlights was, I remember one Friday night, the girls are always wanting to sleep in the tent. And so... it was warm enough. They wanted to do it from the beginning of March, but didn't like give in to that. But we did. I remember one Friday night, the tent was up, and about 11 o'clock at night, we had a wee fire lit. One of these wee great things you put a fire in at the back. The fire was lit. We were doing marshmallows and toast on the fire. And you know, you couldn't put a price on memories like that and family time. I remember being in Ben Vista one day, and speaking to Robert, who works there, and I says, Robert, how has business been? Because the new garden centres early on was very hard. He says, we've never had a busier year. And he says, one of the lovely things is families coming in and people buying seeds and stuff for children to plant. And it's been lovely that there has been family time. Now, of course, for some situations, family life has been challenging in all this. But the family unit is absolutely vital. As Presbyterians, that's why we baptize children. We believe that God not only works through individuals, God works through families. And the family unit is something to be protected. And we particularly need that time to learn together and to worship together as families. And maybe that's something as a church we need to think on and work on. How do we support families and help families teach their children? Joshua says in Joshua 24, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll worship the Lord." He's saying this is what we'll do as a family. And I think as we need to help fathers, we need to help mothers to do this. Ephesians and Colossians both have passages where they talk about the family life together, what children are to do and what parents and particularly fathers are to do. And we need to protect that. We need to pray for that. In all that's happening in society in recent years and the so-called equal marriage and so forth, I think in many ways it's the devil's attack on the family unit and he wants to destroy it. Family time is vital and we need to protect it. And then, eighthly, people's experiences can be very different. How people have coped with lockdown can be very different depending on their family situation, their work situation, their health condition, even their own personality. And for some people, they enjoyed lockdown and have lovely memories of lockdown. For other people, it was absolutely horrendous and such a challenge and continues to be such a challenge. And we need to be so aware that my situation in life will not be the same as the person who lives there or the person who lives there. Our situations in life can be very different. I think in John 21, the story of Peter, when Jesus reinstates him and basically indicates that Peter is going to die for his master. And then Peter wants to sidetrack and he says, well, what about him? Pointing to John. And basically, Jesus says, what I decide for him is not really any of your business. God deals with different people in different ways. Our situations and experiences in life can be very different. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be very aware that when we're dealing with people, we need to be sensitive to where people are at. At the beginning of lockdown, my wider family had my cousins had a WhatsApp group. I have a lot of cousins in that. My father's one of 10, and so a lot of cousins. And this wee WhatsApp group, and to be honest, it did my head in. After about a week, I left it because there were people who were furloughed and they were talking about being bored. And Sheriff and I were running ragged, and we just couldn't cope with this anymore. And we just left the wee WhatsApp group. And there's a few others in a similar situation. And you know, we just need to be so aware of where different people are at. And that's a great thing in life, just to think about other people. Can I encourage you to take time to pray around your estate or the road you live on, or pray around the people who sit near you in church normally, and just think of where people are at and what the experiences they're going through and how it can be very different. So be aware of that. Number 9, I think is a good one. Walking helps us see God's glory in creation. At the beginning of lockdown, I think the path past our house became, it reminded me of Port Stewart Promenade, Cameron's Lane. You go down, it was like going down Port Stewart Promenade as well. The amount of people out and the weather was so lovely in that. And it was good. So many people were able to take time to walk. And as people walked, and particularly when the weather is good, it's just looking at creation. I think the more we look at creation, the better. And Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." This world belongs to God. This world is God's canvas in which he displays his glory. The theater of God's glory is how Calvin describes this world. And I think it's so good to take that time just to walk I think the two of the great challenges in the days we live in, which two things which really have hindered so much of life and community, are the TV and cars. People, because of TVs, go in at night and don't want to talk to anyone else. And people, because of cars, they drive in and out of their driveways and don't see them. And I know if I'm coming up to church, if I decide to walk, I'll generally get into a conversation with one or two people when I'm doing that. And it's good to walk. But getting out into the countryside, just taking time just to admire the wonder of God's creation. We live in a lovely part of the world. The picture of Slemish there. One of the lovely things we did over the summertime was climb Slemish. It's lovely to do that. Just have a look around this world that God has made. And then the final one, number 10, which is God is ever faithful. Lamentation 3 says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I think of the start of lockdown, I thought, when things happened so quickly, we heard churches were closing. What do? The Lord provided a way, and the Lord certainly gave us people with the ability to help us in such a wonderful ways. And God was faithful. I think of different situations of challenges where people were ill and how prayers were answered. And sometimes prayers were answered so dramatically and wonderfully situations were turned around. And how God is so faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. And I just hope that's been your experience through as you look back over the last 6 months and what the next 6 months will hold, we don't know. But this really is the one thing that stops us from going mad, is knowing that God is faithful. The world around us may give way. Think of Psalm 46, the mountains are cast into the sea. But God is our refuge and God is our strength. And so why don't we take more time in getting to know our God, to rely on our God more, and really to test our God in our praying and to see him moving in power. And so I hope these wee lessons will really help you just to think about lockdown. The future can change unexpectedly. We can do things differently. We need to be outward looking. We can learn new skills. The body of Christ can act powerfully. We can be too busy. Family time is vital. People's experiences can be very different. Walking helps us to see God's glory in creation. And God is ever faithful.